I would go
dark,
see
dark hardwood bar.
It's a little bright. I'd be like, it's kind of annoying in this place. If like if it, you know, cameras weren't on, we'd,
well,
we'd considerably
for day
tone
drinking,
this, down.
This is no. If you came out of that bright sunlight,
oh yeah, 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 this would be calmer.
Came into this, you go,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
oh, brick.
Especially if it's hot outside, which by the way, it might get hot here any minute now. There is a fucking fire in Ventura, and the winds are insane right now, and the fire through Ventura is just tearing things apart.
You've got the alert on my phone in the Uber drive over. What?
Dude,
be careful. Warning, warning.
It's bad, man. I mean, it is bad. And it scares the shit out of me because I
look
at it.
You have kids somewhere.
Yes, there's that for sure. But what it scares the shit out of me is that in the short term, I think most people are going to get out of there if they prepare and move accordingly. But you gotta realize what this is. Like, this is something that when you get a fire this size, it's burned. Back that up a little bit so you can get the numbers. Just in today, it's burned 45,000 acres, destroyed at least 150 structures, and forced 27,000 people to evacuate. And they can't stop it. They don't have enough manpower. When something is this big and it's this strong and the winds are this fucking crazy, you look at how those trees are blowing over sideways and these fucking houses are up in flames. I mean, it's,
how do they even have enough water?
I don't have no idea.
Where I live, City Hall just burned down. The City Hall building, and just them putting the fire out, everyone's water went out. There was not enough water. You couldn't turn on your taps because they used it all to put out City Hall.
I wonder if there's like a chart where you could see, where you could go back to 9/11 and then post 9/11, how many women got impregnated by firefighters? Like how many, because remember when firefighters, like after 9/11, remember they were real heroes?
Yeah, no.
People have kind of like taken them for granted until they do something to actually save your house.
I used to do that bit about the after 9/11, firefighters and cops were getting so much hero pussy. They were launching it like a rotted octopus out of what do you call those?
Slingshots. Wrist rocket.
They'd have to swat them down with tennis rackets. I had this whole bit about hero pussy.
So true, right?
Yeah. No, not well. Then the war came, and then all the that was. I think the bit was all the troops are getting the hero pussy that 9/11 first responders used to get, and now they're just hanging around bars going, "Remember me?"
Yeah, man. Do you know Google has this crazy thing on its phone that I was paying attention to recently, where you say something like, "Hello, my name is Doug Stanhope," and then it translates it out loud to someone else, like through your phone. They talk to your phone. And they'll say, you know, me hablo Pedro, en compañía, and they go through their thing. It translates it, and then it changes it in your ear to what English is, the English version of that.
Babblefish.
What's it called? Babblefish.
No, yeah. But that's what it
something
was.
Like
that's
it?
What
yeah.
It was on the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, right.
Okay.
So Applefish.
Yeah.
As a parody of Babblefish.
I saw this. It's a new feature on this phone called the Google Pixel. Mm. And I said, I don't think people, and you have to have these Pixel earbuds that do it. Or you could actually do it through the phone, I think, without the earbuds. But I don't think people understand how crazy this is. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're just starting this thing out. Like, it used to be you couldn't really talk to your phone. Now you could, like, you could do a Google search by just pressing that speaker button, say, who is Brian Hennigan? And then it'll go, boop, boop, in, like, seconds. It'll pull up your Wikipedia, who is Doug Stanhope, in seconds. Like, what is going to, if they can do this thing right, we're going to have a thing in our ear, like a little earbud, and you're going to be able to talk to people all over the fucking planet. It's going to get super strange. People that speak Arabic languages, people that in South America, you're going to...
I still, so many of these technological advances, I think about you and your bits back in the day. Why do they have all these things on the cell phone that replace what a cell phone is?
Yeah, well, the idea was like, why are you making me read?
Yeah. Text me. It takes me four buttons to make an S. Call me. Just call me.
Back then, I would have never thought that text messaging would become popular. Like, there's a bit that you could never do today. I could only do that bit in 2005.
Yeah.
When it was real, like, people were starting to send you text messages. Like, what the fuck is this? You would get it on your phone. You'd go, why don't you just call me, stupid? Why are you making me reply with my thumb?
Well,
like,
that's
real
because
slow
it,
and
it,
awkward.
It shows how much you don't really want to talk to your friends. I don't want to have to say, hey, how you been? What's going on? How's the kids? How's your sister?
Yeah.
I just need one simple response.
I respect Joey Diaz for that. Joey Diaz will not do that with you. And I think he's right. I've been thinking about it more and more lately. I have these weird text message conversations with people. I'm like, why am I even doing this? I need to look at you. You need to know I like you. Like, we're friends.
If
like,
we're going to socialize, wrong, don't fucking talk. Text me, hey, how's it going? That's a bar conversation.
Yeah, you can't do
See
that.
Me in a bar. I don't want to sit and catch up via text.
Hey, how about that one?
Been a long time.
Hey.
Yeah.
How about just hey?
Yeah, hey.
Fuck is this? What are you, 12? Your kid get my phone? Your kid's got my phone number, motherfucker? What's going on? Hey.
See me in a bar and then sit down and say, hey.
Are you 12?
What?
Hey. Hi. You can say that to your friend. Like, hey. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I weary.
Usually that's the extent of what I have to say anyway. Hey.
We got it all out of the way.
High five. Yeah, but can't high five on text, but you probably have an emoji.
You can't hey on text. And, you know what you definitely can't do? You can't yo. You lazy fuck. You want to talk? You ain't got shit to say. Yo. was that an Alex Jones impression?
It was getting close, wasn't it?
Alex Jones is a performance artist.
Is that what you're claiming? You know what? I asked people on Twitter what I should ask you, and overwhelmingly, it's all like, why does he legitimize quacks like Alex Jones?
It
creates a false
don't.
Equivalence problem.
Oh, no.
Why does he interview so many bad faith actors like Alex Jones?
How many people do I interview like Alex Jones?
Yeah. Mm.
First of all, I don't interview anybody. I'm not interviewing you, am I?
Nope.
I'm not an interviewer. I suck at that. I've kind of interviewed Ron Miskovich yesterday. I talk to people, and I record it. That's it. I'm not a journalist, by any stretch of the imagination. Alex Jones has been my friend for 20 years. He's fucking crazy. I showed everybody how crazy he was on my podcast by getting him high and drunk and have him talk about interdimensional child molesters. If you watch that and you think I'm legitimizing Alex Jones in some sort of a way, then you're looking at things in a very cookie cutter way. You're deciding that this is what I've done.
But a lot of people listen to you, and so I think the criticism that these people have is like people put faith in you, and they assume that if you don't raise a question against something, that means that you tacitly agree with what's being said. And that allows the spread of a lot of bullshit.
You don't think I raised questions about Alex?
Like, well, I don't know. I didn't listen to your episode.
I definitely raised questions. But we were more bullshitting than anything and having fun. And he was hammered. I mean, look, people got a chance to see him. They're actually using footage of the conversation that we had against him in his custody battle. Because they're saying he was in Los Angeles on film smoking marijuana. He's a loose cannon. And that's literally being used against
that.
Him. He doesn't. He doesn't give a fuck.
Really?
They asked him
about
a question
his custody
about his
battle?
Kid. They asked him a question about his kid. He couldn't remember. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I had a large bowl of chili for lunch today. I can't remember. He's fucking crazy. He's crazy, and he makes ridiculous amounts of money. Alex
Absolutely.
Jones, he doesn't give a fuck. He's a great guy. I swear to God, he's a great guy.
Okay.
He's just got a ridiculous platform, and he's kind of a character.
Mm.
But that's who he is, man.
You think he's a performance artist?
I think there is a part of what he does that is most certainly theater. I think anybody who doesn't
Tide goes
see
in,
that,
tide goes out. Tide comes in, tide comes out.
It's a bad impression. You got to work on it. Okay. It's almost as bad as my Trump impression.
Fortunately, I never listen to Alex Jones. So I don't
never?
Actually know what he... I mean, I see clips of him when someone shares something with me online. But, like, life's too short to listen to Alex Jones.
The best clips are when he gets mad and then he apologizes. I'm a Christian. I'm sorry.
So I have seen those.
Someone said something about him recently, and he went all... I never swear. I never swear. In 20 years, I've never sworn on the air. But this fucking faggot... Like he went fucking crazy. He
I
went
did.
Fucking crazy on
I
this one guy.
That.
And then he said, I'm sorry. I apologize. I know children are listening. This is wrong. I mean, he's just fucking... He's a maniac. I'm not giving him legitimacy. He already has a massive platform, arguably bigger than mine. What I'm doing is showing you what I see when I hang out with Alex Jones. People are like, why are you friends with Alex Jones? I'm like, he's a nice guy. I like him. Look, I have a friend who I argued with for a fucking hour yesterday who thinks... I'm pretty sure he thinks the fucking world is flat.
Yeah, that's another one
he
that I got.
He thinks satellites
aren't
real.
Is this Eddie Bravo?
Yeah, he thinks satellites aren't real. He doesn't believe in dinosaurs. He thinks dinosaurs are bullshit. He doesn't believe in nuclear bombs. He's... out to lunch.
He doesn't believe in nuclear bombs.
Listen, man, you can't even hold it to the fire. It's ridiculous. I don't understand his thought process. And again, I've been friends with him as long as I've been friends with Alex Jones. But I'm way closer with Eddie. Way closer. Like, Eddie's one of my best friends.
Uh-huh.
He's fucking crazy.
Uh-huh.
But if you talk to him about conspiracies, but if you talk to him about like MMA, or he's a jiu-jitsu genius. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like one of the very best jiu-jitsu instructors on the planet Earth, without a doubt.
I mean, this comes back again to the like how we can compartmentalize our minds, right?
Yes,
it's like a religious
for sure.
person who believes in the story of Jesus, but is also otherwise super intelligent.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and, you know, I don't know how people's brains work. I don't understand. I've tried to study like people's really irrational thinking and try to, but you know what I worry more than anything? I worry that it's a contagious disease.
I think it is. And this is why I'm a bit worried about where we're at culturally at the moment. And because I think that concern about irrationalism being contagious is not too dissimilar from my concern about a disrespect for the idea of truth and falsehood being contagious. So, you know, when I was talking about this Russian journalist who was talking about the ways in which Putin and Chavez and Erdogan in Turkey and the Hungarian dictator, well, not dictator,